Welcome to the Connected Table Sips on iHeartRadio. We are your insatiably curious culinary couple, Melanie Young and David Ransom. We bring you the dynamic people who work front and center and behind the scenes in food, wine, spirits, and hospitality. Ours is a delicious life, and we want to share it with you. Italy's Zonin family owns many wineries in Italy. The family actually dates back seven generations. However, in 1976, patriarch Johnny Zonin decided to invest in making wine outside Italy for the first time. After looking at locations in California and New York State, Zonin settled on Virginia. He acquired Barbersville, an historic estate, to plant his vines, and today Barbersville produces wines of national acclaim. It's also a top destination for wine lovers, and we're tasting a few Barbersville wines with Luca Peschina, resident winemaker and general manager since 1990. Welcome.
And thank you so much for having me.
Luca, Barbersville Vineyards is located in central Virginia, not far from Charlottesville. What are the key factors that shape the terroir in this area specifically?
What is of relevance is that is among the area that was at the very beginning of the birth of a new wine region. So around the area of Charlottesville is almost 70 wineries. What we do have similar is that soil type, which is quite a bit of red clay. All vineyards just about are on the slopes. Quite a bit of us growers in this region are focusing on Merlot, Cabernet Franc, Petit Verdot, some Cabernet Sauvignon, but not as consistent. So we have a lot in common, and that's what really makes a wine area more relevant.
We walked around the vineyards today and saw that beautiful red clay. And even though Virginia is in the south, there are some weather extremes. It can get cold here in the winter.
Yeah, indeed. Here we have, we have a very continental type of weather. Even though we're at the latitude of North Africa here or south of Sicily, so the summer can be quite hot. Although we have recently had a 2014 vintage, we never went above 90 degrees. So it's not a certain pattern in Virginia. What does make the weather shift, although quite a bit between vintages, is the jet stream. So the shift of the jet stream really create a multitude of patterns of vintages.
Luca, you mentioned a few international varietals that are planted, but you also brought in and decided to plant some Italian varietals as well. Talk to us about that.
Yes, when I came, most of the vineyards that were planted were dedicated to with the international varieties of those days in the 70s, Chardonnay, Merlot, Cabernet Sauvignon, some Cabernet Franc, but also there was a little bit of Barbera, a little Malvasia Bianca. And so when I came, I was glad to find something I was more familiar with. Although later on, I did add a few more Italian varieties. We were not committed to only focus on Italian grapes. Our commitment was to find grapes that fit well the climate and the soil. But of course, I searched also in Italy, and I introduced Nebbiolo. I also introduced some Sangiovese, Vermentino, Viognier, for example. Although it's a French grape, I'm just giving you an idea that it wasn't only Italian, but definitely some Italian varieties are doing extremely well here.
Well, you know, the Italian connection obviously goes past the grapes and into the wine itself, because we understand that you have an Italian cooper that makes your barrels and you use a particular type of wood. Tell us about this.
Yes. In Piemonte, we have a cooperage called Gamba, and they source some phenomenal logs of white oak in France, and then they ship the logs into the cooperage, and they are toasted to our specification. I found a style of barrel, I found a cooper, and I have not changed since then my supply, and still will remain my only supplier.
Well, Italy is all about relationships, and you have a very special one with the Zonin family. How involved is the Zonin family with Barbersville today, and how has working with them been beneficial to your work here?
What is very important is that the team of winemakers and grape growers they have scattered throughout all of Italy, it's quite big. And so we can really exchange a lot of information, a lot of techniques, going from pruning techniques to fertilization techniques, and it's really a big advantage to have such support.
It's fabulous.
So, Luca, let's try some of the wines. The first one that we have is a Viognier, a variety that you've championed here in Virginia. Tell us about it.
Yes, this is our current release. It's the 2018, where I have tropical characteristic, I have floral characteristic and citrus. The acidity is a bit higher, the alcohol strength is a lower. And then we age it for a full 11 months on the lees, followed by several months in bottle, then it's released. So this is our interpretation of Viognier, and it's been very successful for us.
It's beautiful. And Viognier is a good Virginia grape, too.
Yes. There are almost 200 growers of Viognier in the state right now. Chardonnay is number one still in volume of acres, but number two creeping up, it is Viognier.
Well, let's talk about another signature grape in Virginia, the Cabernet Franc. We have the 2018 Barboursville Cabernet Franc here.
Well, I discovered for the first time Cabernet Franc when I came here to Virginia in Piemonte. We don't grow it. It's grown in the northeast of Italy. And so it was fascinating for me to put my hands on some Cabernet Franc in my first harvest in 1991. And prior to 91, historic records of picking showed that it was used as a field blend. It was picked at the same time as Cabernet Sauvignon, co-fermented, and then the wine was taking the appellation of Cabernet Sauvignon because it was a minor part that was blended in. Although in 91 I chose to pick everything separate, and 91 was a very good growing season, so I made a very good Cabernet Franc and a very good Cabernet Sauvignon. Although when we then arrived at 92 harvest, much less favorable condition. And at the end of harvest, tasting wines, it was clear that the best wine we produced in that vintage was Cabernet Franc. And then I chose to start labeling the wine as Cabernet Franc, and I suggested to the owners that we should plant more acres, because if you can make a good wine in a difficult growing season, that is a variety that you should plant. That's how you create a wine region, is by making this decision. Today, there are many, many acres planted of Cabernet Franc.
Well, I think it's really one of Virginia's finest red grapes. It's a perfect grape for the East Coast climate, and I love this wine.
Luca, you brought your passion for Italy here to Barboursville and planted some Italian varieties. In front of us, we have the 2016 Nebbiolo, which we tasted. Let's talk about it.
Yes. Growing up in Piemonte, my father was a winemaker there. We didn't have a vineyard in my family. My uncle did have a vineyard. I learned from him about grape growing and from my father about winemaking. I remember my father consulting a small vineyard in Monforte. It had a fantastic site where he was growing Nebbiolo. And of course, when I came here to Virginia, I had a strong desire to plant Nebbiolo. There was no logic that it would have done well here, because even in Piemonte, people in the Lange, they say, well, you can plant it in this area, but that if you go across the river, it's not going to be as good. Which, if you just believe that, I would have never planted it. But it turned out that the first vintage was 98. It was a very, very good growing season. The wine, actually, it was quite remarkably good. So today we're still drinking Nebbiolo from the 98 vintage. So it was simply a desire. It turned out to be a great thing.
Let's talk about Octagon, which is your flagship red wine.
Yes.
Very well known around the country by collectors and aficionados. Tell us about it.
You know, the task for a winemaker and an estate is to create the best wine you can from the terroir that you are given. And so when I came in 1990, I started exploring among the parcel planted access to the best grapes we had on the estate. So in the late 90s, we finally produced what was then claimed in the early 2000s as a world-class wine in the category of Bordeaux blends. Technically, the main grape, it's Merlot. Merlot here, it's incredibly consistent in its quality, as Cabernet Franc is, followed by Petit Verdot and Cabernet Sauvignon. The quality of the Octagon is the result of this search, of this exploration of our ground, patience, observation, to all of this. The blending is the most fascinating part, which is something we do a year into the aging of the barrels. It's never a matter how much we have to produce. It's a matter to make the best wine we can from that vintage. So this is a wine that is for the ages. This is a wine inspired from the past, but driven by the present time of this young wine industry.
It's a very elegant wine. What's also important to note, the four wines we've discussed are just a small sampling of what you can experience at Barboursville Vineyards, which is open to the public year-round, except for 3 days a year. You can come and you can taste on the patio. They have a beautiful tasting room. There is a restaurant called Palladio. There is an inn, a very historic inn. And you also have, you can find these wines online. Just for our listeners to note, they're also reasonably priced. The Viognier Reserve list at the winery for $21.99. The Nebbiolo is $34.99, the Cab Franc $24.99, and the Octagon, which James Suckling said was one of the finest examples of a Bordeaux blend made in America, is $54.99, which is very reasonable for the caliber of what it is. You can learn more at www.bbvwine.com about the wines, the inn, the restaurant, and this rich heritage here in the heart of Virginia. Luca Piscina, thank you for joining us on the Connected Table Sips.
You've been listening to the Connected Table Sips with Melanie Young and David Ransom. To listen to more in-depth features with the movers and shakers who shape the wine, food, spirits, and hospitality industry, tune into our companion show, The Connected Table Live. You can tune into the live broadcast on Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on W4CY Radio. Easy to find at www.w4cy.com. Or listen to all our shows anytime at iHeart.com and on the iHeart app. Connect with us on Twitter at Connected Table and follow us on Facebook and Instagram under The Connected Table. And remember, always stay insatiably curious.